play.
Sir.
Yeah.
Yeah. Kane is in the building.
Yeah. It's alright, already the show goes on all night. Till the morning we dream so long. Anybody ever wonder when they will see the thunder? Just remember when you come up.
And welcome back, everybody, to another episode of the Always Pressing PGA DFS Podcast. This week, we'll be previewing the 2021 The Players Championship down in Florida. Some of the best on tour will be here this week. Loaded field. Some say it's the fifth major. John Deere might disagree, but it's pretty close to that. You can check out the podcast on Twitter at Always Press DFS. I'm on Twitter at BDentric, and you can check out my co-host, as always, on Twitter at DFS Golf Guys. Jesse, what's up, man?
Doing well. How are you doing?
Not too shabby, not too shabby. And once again, I'm going to start calling him a co-host if this keeps happening. You can find him on Twitter at Kevin's Delight. Kevin, how we doing, man?
Doing great, thanks. Weather's good. It's time for some golf.
Love it. Love it. Yeah, we were talking beforehand, and you're getting going. Jesse played golf this weekend. I played golf. Things are looking up for everybody, it looks like. This is good.
Yeah, absolutely.
Good times.
For sure.
I didn't get to watch a lot of the weekend besides checking scores on my phone and seeing a lot of bogeys and everything along the way, and then seeing on the Slack chat Kevin talking about how the weather is going to be nasty and whatnot. So the scores kind of played out as we would think, but I did see DeChambeau, his drives on six. Those are amazing. Jesse, any thoughts on the Arnold Palmer Invitational?
The only thing I can think is, I guess, you know, if we got a long course with high rough, play Bryson. I mean, I don't know what else to say about it. It's pretty tough on the weekend again. But you know, the scores were much better than last year for the most part. So, yeah, I mean, you know, it's a Bryson weekend. I typically don't have a very good one, so I'm ready to move on.
What about you, Kevin? Any thoughts on API?
Yeah, I think we're spoiled again by another great event. And I think the scoring average on Sunday was 75.5, so very U.S. Open-esque. It was a good time. It was fun to watch despite my high exposure to Rory and the great start he had and kind of listening to his interview yesterday. Doesn't seem like his head's in the right spot. It'd be very interesting to see what happens over the next couple of weeks with Rory's game.
Yeah, it was a weird one watching, course history kind of went out the window this week. It was like half and half worked out. Like I had a lot of Molly that obviously didn't work out too well. But then there were some guys that just kept doing their thing. So it was interesting to see the end result. Like Lee Westwood, I know you talked about him last week, Kevin. That was a big one. Lee showing up on Saturday with a big round. It was just a good golf course, and we're going to get more of that this week at the Players' Championship at TPC Sawgrass. So let's just get at it. It's a field of 154, so T65 and ties will make it. So it's bigger than the usual field. It's usually 144. So it's 154 this week, T65 and ties. I think I saw 55 of the top 60 in the world will be here this week. So it's basically a major. Jesse, what do you got for some past event history, including Hideki Matsuyama 63?
Yeah, I mean it's usually the best field in the of the year, but last year Hideki Matsuyama shoots 63 and wins. I don't know who was second, third, fourth, but obviously it's hard to believe it's been a year since. I mean, really, all this shit started.
Shut down.
Yeah, yep. Man. But luckily, we've all survived. 2019, Rory McIlroy was a champion, 16 under, one shot over Jim Furyk. 2018 champion was Webb Simpson, 18 under, four shots over Xander, Charles Schwartzel, and Jimmy Walker. 2017 champion was Siwoo Kim, 10 under, three shots over Louis Oosthuizen, who withdrew last week right after Locke. So that was great.
Awesome.
And Ian Poulter. Jason Day was a 2016 champion, 15 under, four shots over Kevin Chappell. Ricky Fowler won it, as I'm sure everybody has seen on the 1,000 fucking commercials that that have been played about Ricky Fowler owning the Island Green. 12 under in a playoff over Sergio, Kevin Kisner. Martin Keimer won in 2014. Woods has won this, Tiger Woods, twice. Kuchar was 2012 champion. Sergio's won this in the past. Henrik Stenson, Phil Mickelson, Adam Scott. I mean, you know, the cream usually rises to the top here.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Does a TPC Sawgrass, like we talked about, Puente Vedra or Vedra, Florida. It's par 72, a little under 7,200 yards, Bermuda greens, all that kind of good stuff. It's a Pete Dye design, and he designed this course, so it's like never two holes mimic each other back-to-back. So typical Pete Dye fashion, you got it's a thinking man's golf course, a shot-by-shot man's golf course. Some dogleg left, some dogleg right. Par fives are very gettable, but there's always a hazard or something in the way, so you can't just bomb it all the time unless you want to really roll the dice, so it kind of takes the bombers out of play. They can still get there in two, but it kind of brings everybody to the same hole, to the same pack to play together. Par threes aren't super challenging. The par fours, I think like five or six are over 460. There's like three or four that are like under 400. So it's all over the spectrum of types of holes, which makes it really, really cool. 17 water hazards. So you're going to see that a lot when you think your guy's going good and he goes kerplunk and you wonder how he's all of a sudden, you know, three shots switch on you. That's always fun. But anything else you have to add, Kevin, or what your kind of stats you're looking at this week?
It's an awesome golf course. It's one of my favorites. I had a chance to play it. You know, like you said, every hole is different. A little bit of everything. Par threes vary in distance. The par fives are all gettable. Obviously, the famous stretch of 16, 17, 18. But, man, the place is just awesome. It's ball striker's paradise, right? Tee to green is awfully important. Par five scoring is going to be very important because you can make some birds and eagles out there. So a lot of the same stuff as last week, shot gain approach, shot gain tee to green, a little bit off the tee, but some par five scoring as well.
What about you, Jesse?
Yeah, I think he hit the nail on the head there, man. Plenty of course history also to add in there. So I'll take that into consideration quite a bit. And then I'm sure you'll talk about the fan share stuff here in a second, but Pete Dye specialists.
Yep, Pete Dye specialists for sure. And Kevin mentioned in the Slack, Kevin and Dye were kind of going back and forth, talking about some good stuff to kind of get pre-gaming for the week with like guys on strokes gained approach and all kinds of different things. But he was just mentioning the different iron players and whatnot in that regard. So something to keep in mind if you want to join us in the Slack chat. It's free. Check it out. Lots of fun. If you don't like golf, NASCAR is always popping over there. So go check those guys out as well. So they got something going on for everybody. But before we get cracking on this, fanshare.com, like Jesse mentioned, promo code ALWAYSPRESS gets you 20% off the package of your choice. Just a couple things. You can do all kinds of different navigations, especially this, because there's Pete Dye specialists, there's greens, there's lengths of the course, difficult to the field. They keep adding different tweaks to kind of see what you like here. But just in general, I like to just look at current form, because that's the other thing Kevin mentioned in the chat. I 100% agree with. With as volatile as this field is, and considering our course history is going to start from 2 years ago, not last year, I think current form might be a little more important this week, but we'll talk about that when we get going. So last six events on tour when it comes to DraftKings scoring, Cantlay, Finau, Hovland, Neiman, Palmer are your top five in this field. It's a loaded field, so you're going to hear a lot of big names, of course. But we, Jesse mentioned the Dye designs, Pete Dye designs. Last six Pete Dye tournaments, Kuchar, Answer, John Rahm, Cam Davis, and Justin Rose. I'm waiting for him to withdraw with the bad backs. Keep that in mind. So if Rosie leaves, McIlroy will be your fifth on the board. But two spots below McIlroy, Johnny Vegas, Michael Thompson, Andrew Landry. So keep that in mind if you're going fishing. And then last six events on Bermuda greens, you got Justin Thomas, Xander, Morikawa, DJ, Webb. That whole list is just the loaded guys. There's really no – Carlos Ortiz is 10th if you want to try to find a needle in a haystack on that one. The rest of them, it's all the big boys on their Bermuda greens. But that being said, let's get cracking on this one. Loaded field, loaded – just pricing's awesome. You can play all kinds of different builds in general. But 10K and above, you got DJ at 11-2. Rahm 10-9, Rory 10-6, Xander 10-3. Jesse, what do you like in the 10K range?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know that I'll be up here too awful much, but you know, DJ's got some good course history, 5th, 17th, 12th, 28th in his last four. I mean, it's not great for DJ, but either way, I mean, I just wonder how, like, I don't know if he'll get overlooked. I mean, obviously, he's Dustin Johnson, the one playing the world, but will people want to spend up for him after the lackluster showing at the Workday Championship, which was his last time out, and that was a 54th place finish there. Obviously, no cut event. So I've got interest in DJ there, and then also too in John Rahm, right below him. You know, Rahm 12th in 2019, 63rd the year before that, missed cut. So three appearances, not necessarily great, but playing really good golf. I mean, you know, he's just steady. So if you're up here, those would be the two that I'm looking at. Again, I don't think I don't know. Besides DJ, I don't know that I really want to play anybody up here.
What about you, Kevin?
Yeah, it's probably ROM for me if I play anyone up in this area. I think DJ's course history is okay. Par five scoring. I did most of my models in the last 12 rounds, trying to really focus on the recent form. And he's 92nd, pretty surprisingly, on par five scoring. 119th on shots gained off the tee. So I gravitate more toward ROM if I play many folks in this area at all. Maybe some Rory, just because he might go overlooked due to his comments. And maybe he finds a spark at the Players because it's the fifth major. but really, I'll probably avoid this area as much as possible.
Yeah, I'm not going to be up here a lot either. If I go anywhere, it's Rory, because I feel like I'm with you, Kevin, that I feel like he might come in a little lower owned than usual here. He obviously won it last year, missed cut, but he has a couple other top 10s in there. He's not winning right now, but he's still basically a top 10 machine out there. You want more than that at 10-6, but he's going to keep you in the running unless something really crazy happens. So I don't hate Rory. And then there's Xander, who missed the cut last time out, last tournament here, finished second the year before that. He always just doesn't get ownership up here. So I think Xander's a really good pivot off of this grouping as well. But I don't foresee myself going in here, and a big reason for that is the 8 and the 9K range. Well, they're all loaded, but the 8 and the 9K range I could live in for the most part. So let's go to that 9K range. Hey, you guys,
Before you move on real quick, just one thing about Rory. I saw a tweet very recently from Justin Ray at Justin Ray Golf. McIlroy is the 11th in the world ranking. The last time he was out of the top 10, he won the 2018 API. So keep there you go. Mind. Yep.
It just takes 1 week for him to fit. Like, he's so close right now, and that's why we kind of talked about him a lot lately. He's really close to doing it.
Well, I mean, he was hitting the ball with Bryson last week, and for whatever reason, and then on Sunday, of course, he dunks two in the water. So it was tilting, but his round Sunday wasn't that bad, but he just kind of fell back a little bit.
It says a lot also that if he's the 11th golfer in the world, how loaded golf is right now.
Right.
That says a lot about things.
Yeah, golf's in a good spot.
Golf's in a great spot. JT, 99. Bryson, 97. Webb, 95. And obviously this pricing came out before the finish of the API because Bryson would probably be a little more expensive. So Webb, 95. Morikawa, 94. Vic, 93. Cantley, 92. Finau, 91. And Patty Reed coming off the big miscut at 9,000. Kevin, what are you liking in the 9K range?
I'm liking Finau. Obviously, his game's on point. He's number one in my overall model last 12 rounds played. He kind of fits that mold around Sawgrass where he went miscut 57, 22nd. So he's starting to learn more about the golf course and knows how to play it better. Webb and JT for sure. Actually, I've bet three of those guys so far. And this range is a lot more interesting to me than the 10K and above.
What about you, Jesse? I know there's a good Justin Ray set on Justin Thomas, too, if you got it.
Yeah. Did you? I was looking the other day, and did you know Justin Thomas has longer odds than Jordan Spieth at Augusta currently?
Really?
Wow. That's intriguing.
I mean, it's like, it's like 14 and 15. I mean, it's really close, but.
How times have changed.
There. Right. I think JT's okay. I think, Bryson, Bryson's. Man, he's just one of those guys. I don't know that. I mean, is he going to go back to back? Does he really have to? I mean, I would lean that at this price, but I don't know that the rough is going to be up enough for him to get that huge advantage like he had last week. Webb at 95 for sure. 16th, first, his last two appearances here, come off the sixth place finish. He's playing really well. Hovland's still playing really well. He had a really bad Sunday round. He came back on the backside. I think he shot 40 or 42 on the front Sunday. Shot 77 the day before. Finished the tournament 77, 78, which is not great. Finished 49th. But, before that, second, fifth, sixth, second. The guy's playing as good as anybody else. Cantlay, obviously, off the layoff like him. And then Finau as well, yes. I'll be playing Tony, obviously we're not going to get him in. I don't think Cantlay or Tony are going to be sneaky plays by any means this week, but I don't mind stacking them both and kind of just going with it and seeing what happens.
Yeah, I'm really looking forward to ownership up here because I think Webb, like you guys both hit on, is a phenomenal play up here just because the way the course design is. when you could bring in the Bombers to kind of play Webb's type of game, I think it gets really good. Obviously, like we've heard and talked about, he won the year when he just putted out of his mind. But the way he's playing golf right now, I wouldn't be shocked if he's up there as well. So I like Webb quite a bit. Cantlay and Finau, both great players. I'd probably go Finau over Cantlay, but both are really, really solid. I'm gravitating more so, like, if you don't want to play the chalk, I think Colin Morikawa is very enticing when there's, you know, he can hit it far, but when it becomes more of an iron play game, that fits him supremely. So I think Morikawa is very intriguing at $9,400 bucks. And then JT, just because I think people will not play him because he's been playing so bad for JT standards lately. And this is a guy, like you mentioned, Justin Rae stats. He had one on JT. He has the most birdie or betters at this tournament over like the last 5 or 6 years. He had like 90 something birdies or better. But he also has the second most bogeys or worse on this course. So he's going to go get it. He's going to tilt your head off, but he's going to go for it. And I think that's intriguing, especially for a guy that's struggling. Just say, screw it, let's go play golf, use my talents. I could be intrigued by JT on that. But the ownership game will be fun there. This 9K range is very, very loaded, though. So it depends on if you want to eat chalk here and be different later, or if you want to be different now and eat some chalk cheaper. It's up to you.
Cool deal here is typically don't like first-timers around the players, and I don't know how much weight this holds, but Morikawa and Hovland are both essentially first-timers since last year was canceled, but both of them did fire 68 four-under in the first round last year before it's canceled, so they obviously are comfortable here and can get around the track okay.
And if there that's was like if there was two guys, I would put the exception to the rule would be those two guys. You know, I mean, like that those are elite players, and you know you don't get a whole heck of a lot of elite first timers here. So, but anyways, go ahead.
Yeah, Morikawa just showed up at the concession for the first time and dominated a golf course. So I'm feeling pretty good about things there. But yeah, it's a good point Kevin made because I've heard it a lot that first timers do not, and it's true. They usually do not do good here. That's just flat out truth, and they usually never win. I don't think they ever have one actually. A first timer. So keep that in mind. But yeah, Morikawa, Hovland, they did technically play here last year, but it won't count. So let's head into that 8K range. Now I got Scottie Scheffler at 89. Berger down to 88. Remember when he was so much more expensive a little while ago? Matsuyama, 87. Spieth, 86. Hatton, 85. Casey, 84. Sungjae, 83. Fitz, 82. Scott, 81. Day, 8,000. And before we go here, Jesse, I owe you an apology. Spieth's been very good. So I'm sorry, but who do you like in the 8K range, Jesse?
I need to apologize to me, man. I just keep playing him. First of all, I don't understand why Scottie Scheffler is $8,900. I mean, you know that I don't. Just to me, that's an overpriced. Now, will that mean that most people will fade him? I don't know, but I mean, his finishes recently are good. He's a first timer here. I won't be playing him. Berger at 88. Do like him quite a bit. I think that price is really good on him. Obviously, that he won the AT&T roughly a month ago, and then played the Workday, finished 35th. His course history is okay around here. Jordan Spieth, again at 86, I will play him. His course history is very mixed. When I say mixed, like it's not great at all whatsoever. Miscut, 41st, miscut, fourth. But I feel like Jordan is figuring some shit out. People, you know, want to say like he's a luck box and he's, you know, running all this shit in. Maybe he's just really good around the greens. Like
that Saturday start was ridiculous.
I mean, you know, I get it that the hole in one 100% luck, but I mean, all hole in ones are. Let's be honest. The guy is a magician out of sand. I mean, he plays really well. You know, and then obviously too, his putter when he gets the putter going, he's lights out. I'll play plenty of Spieth this week. Paul Casey playing really, really well. Course history. I mean, it's kind of the theme in this range. These guys are really good players, but they haven't really had a whole heck of a lot of success at the Players Championship. Miscut, 22nd, 23rd, withdrawal, miscut, which is not great, obviously. But I mean, he hasn't finished outside the top 12 since November. So every start he's made this year, you know, he's finished inside the top 12. It's including a win in there. Sungjae, I think he's fine. 8,300. You know, I like him to at least make the cut. And then Adam Scott, 81, I really, you know, I don't see him flying under the radar at all either. But, you know, course history is really good. 12th, 11th, 6th, 12th in his last 4 years. And, you know, he's made a bunch of cuts in a row. So 12. I think Adam Scott is that how many?
Yeah, as long as I can count.
Yeah. I mean, I could tell you exactly. I just didn't.
And my sheet only goes back 12 years, so I know what Kevin's like. he missed the cut in 11.
He's made 12 cuts in a row here?
Yeah. No, he's made since 2012.
Oh, wow. I was just saying, like, cuts in a row in general. He hasn't missed a cut since the Arnold Palmer a year ago. He hasn't missed a cut. Yeah. I mean, he doesn't play a heck of a lot, but just in the year, he's not missed one basically in the last year. So he's either due for it or, he should play pretty well again this week, I would think.
Kevin, before we get to you, Rob Treha, our buddy from FSD, has a question in the chat. Have you guys heard anything on Cantlay after he withdrew? I haven't heard anything at all.
So my guess is I don't think he's played. It was either 3 weeks in a row or 4 weeks in a row. In years, and he had played, I think it was 3 weeks in a row leading up to his WD from concession.
Okay.
I think it was more just get rested up or whatever. I mean, cause he's dealt with injuries, you know, and so that was, he played back to back. He played the AT&T, then the Genesis. I'm surprised he didn't go there for the cash grab. But for whatever reason, he just decided to, you know, take it off till the players here. So I've not seen any news at all whatsoever about any injury for him.
Yeah, I would not be afraid to play him.
Now Brooks is taking the players off too, just so he can get ready for the Masters. So it's all good. Kevin, who do you like in this 8K range?
Well, I think if you're starting any cash game, you got to start with Adam Scott. Like we said, 12 straight made cuts here, with a lot of finishes in the top 15, top 10 for that much. Scotty Scheffler, I know Jesse's not a huge Scheffler guy. He was also one of the first timers last year who fired 68 to start here. I think in a GPP, he'll probably be fairly low owned, you know, being up there with Finau, Reed, Berger, Matsuyama, Spieth. I think he'll go overlooked. So probably a pretty good opportunity to be overweight on the field with Scheffler. Sung J.M. Miscut, but then came back in 2020 with a 3-under round before they got suspended. So I do like Sung J here quite a bit. Not sure about Berger quite yet. 65, 57, 67 finishes here. It's a Florida course. You'd think he'd be much better than that, and maybe he'll figure it out. But if I'm in this range, I'm going to spend most of my lineups with Scott, Scheffler, and Sungjae.
Yeah, I like Scheffler as well when it comes to GPP. I'm glad you specified that because he can be tilting as hell in a cash game lineup. But he's one of those guys that on a course like this where they're going to find the water, he can also run off like three birdies in a row. Even so, he can play that back and forth volatility game, make the cut and make a run. He can also blow up. That's why Jesse's tilted from him, because I was there with him that tournament where he shot like 8 over on Thursday, then he shot like 8 under on Friday and missed the cut by like 2 strokes still. That was like so much fun to watch.
But, and this is one of those courses where you can make birdies and stretches. There's some spots on the golf course where you can get 3 or 4 in a row.
And he could do that. Like that's what's interesting about him. I agree, $8,900 is a bit surprising, but maybe that lowers the ownership as well. So I think in a GPP, very, very enticing there. I'm torn, Jesse, on Spieth because I want to play him now, but we know how that goes. Like, I've talked so much crap about this guy, and I haven't played him at all. And I even text you and laugh at you when you play him like in one and done. And now, like, I want to play him at $8,600, and it's probably not going to end well. So,
it's time.
Yeah.
It's time.
Yeah, his recent form is so good. Look at all those top tens.
Oh, I know. That's why I want to play him. He's like, he's just so locked in right now. And part of me thinks it's a tournament like last week. You know, you have a few bad holes, but the cut line is not going to be like -5 like we had for a while. There's probably going to be +3 or +4. So he can still sneak into the weekend and then make a Spieth type run. So I'm really, really tempted to throw some Spieth out there this week. The other guys I like, you mentioned Casey. I think Hatton's very intriguing since he kind of stumbled a little bit on the week and still finished 21st. He's made back-to-back missed cuts here. So I think you might get a low-owned Hatton who's overall playing really good golf right now. And lastly, Fitzpatrick. I'll be back on him again. 10th place last week, 11th week before, 6th week before that, 17th week before that. $8,200. Just keep giving me Fitzpatrick. I know he's not the greatest here, 41st and 46th the last 2 years, but I'll take Fitz at 82. Just slow, steady. Don't take him to win, but throw him in your lineup. Enjoy what he can do for you. Maybe he'll sneak into the top 10 yet again.
By my count, we hit on everybody except for Decky and Jason Day.
Yeah, I won't have either one of them. No, not happening. Not going to torture myself there.
No Decky for you either, Kevin?
I don't know yet. I haven't decided on Hideki. Obviously, fits the mold. It seemed like a good golf course for him. Went crazy low last year to open, set the course record, although it doesn't count. eighth the year before that. His recent form isn't spectacular, but this is one of those places where he might be able to turn around a little bit.
Two straight top 20s.
If you're doing like a multi-entry 20 max or more, yeah, have a little bit. But if I'm doing 3 max or something, I won't be playing that game. I'm not going to stomach it. But let's go to the next range here, 7,500 to 7,900. Kevin, who do you like in this range?
So I do like Fleetwood. And he's one of my bets so far. I've got four guys, and he was the fourth I settled on this morning. Can he win? Maybe. We know he's not great on Sunday, but he can definitely keep your lineups looking good up until the back nine on Sunday at least. Usti and Rose, that's kind of demonic on DraftKings, right? They price them right there together. I mean, one of them maybe Usti was fatigued. Rosie may be injured. We don't really truly know. When he was warming up on Sunday before his round, he was grabbing his back, watching PGA Tour live, so he may have been injured. I know he caught a bunch of flack for hitting a couple in the water and walking off on Saturday. But I can't see myself playing either one of those guys right now just because. So that person that does play him will be pretty lucky and get lower ownership for sure. I do like Neiman a little bit here. I'm first timer, but he shot 73 to open last year, so he had a chance to see the course and tournament conditions. Form's good, as good as anyone right now, and do think I'll have some Joaquin. Kokrak's game's pretty good right now, 46, 47 the last 2 years here, so maybe he's one of those guys that is learning the place a little bit better. Won't have any of Jesse's boy, Zalatoris. He truly is a first timer. Do like Homa. I'll be going back to Max. His form's good. He did open with a 70 here last year for his first attempt, so 2 under to start. And other than that, I probably won't have much. Maybe dabble a little bit with Sergio, but I'll have to get pretty bold to do that.
Sergio has made all 16 cuts he's ever played here. I saw that stat, and I saw he has made the most money as over any other golfer in this tournament.
Yeah,
at this place. So
it's impressive.
It is, considering how like who's played in this tournament and everything. It's pretty damn impressive. This is the part of the tournament where it gets interesting, because I think I saw the year Rory won, like in the optimal lineups, I think seven or eight of the top 10 DK scores are from like mid 7Ks and below, like 3 or 4 in the 6K range. So now it gets to the point where ownership, I think, becomes more fun. Like you should really focus on volatility now. So, Jesse, what do you like in the $75 to $7,900 range?
Yeah, so obviously, you know, starting at the top there with I think Fleetwood's fine. I do think he'll be more popular than I really want. I'd rather go to Cam Smith. The one thing about Cam Smith is course history not great. He did play here in 20, shot whatever. 56 miscut in his three starts that actually finished, but came up the 11th place finish at the Workday Championship. Tough conditions, played really well except for on Saturday, and then fourth at the Genesis. I got a funny story. So about last week, one thing I probably should have, you know, when we were recapping it, I played Louis Oosthuizen on my main team, right? He WDs right out the gate. So I'm dead in the water, like right out the – I mean, it was like, – I didn't even pay attention hardly Thursday and Friday. I made a team for the weekend, put Justin Rose on it.
I was guessing that's what you're going to say.
And I was on the course, and somebody texted me. He was like, Rose just made 9 and said, fuck it, I'm walking off. And I'm like – I mean, one thing. I mean, shit, man. I mean, when it rains, it pours.
Who are you playing this week?
So if I was choosing between the two of those, I would play Louis. I think Louis, you know, we know how Louis is. Like he just does that type of shit. It's not the first time. It won't be the last time. You get burned. That's why it's sketch to play him a lot. But he was playing pretty well. 6th at the Workday, 11th Phoenix Open. Course history is fine. Neiman at 77, like him quite a bit. Kokrak as well. Zalatoris, I will play at 76. I don't care. Sergio, obviously a lot of made cuts there. I think Abraham Answer's underpriced at 75. Yep. So 12th place finish here in 2019. He was going to play again last year, come off the 18th place finish at the Workday Championship. He's just getting kind of, I don't know, I just want to say disrespected by the price makers at DraftKings. I like him quite a bit at this price, especially at 75 there. So I'll play Answer a lot.
Yeah, I like Answer a ton this week as well. He's a guy I played a lot on this show for people that listen. Like, I'm a big Abe Answer fan at 75. I have no problem. He's one of the better iron players on tour. So talk about approach game. He checks that box. I love Homa this week, and I like Neiman as well. So I think they're going to be both. At least Homa for sure, lower owned. Neiman might get a little pub, but you get some nice ownership pivots there. Same with Kokrak at 77. That little crew right there, you can get some nice little ownership, I think, and make some hay with it. So I think
it'll be pretty well spread out in this whole range.
That'd be awesome if it does.
I don't see anybody being like super chalk here. I mean, I could be wrong, obviously, about that. But, you know, Fleetwood at this point is getting the most buzz out of all these guys. So I'd look for him to be the highest owned. But will he be above 20? I doubt it.
Yeah, I think he will be the highest owned. So there's one commentator with the four-letter last name, starts with an M, ends with an O, that is talking all about him like crazy. So we know how that story goes.
Is his last name also a condiment?
Yes, yes. Goes on sandwiches, and some put it on hot dogs for some reason. but I think another one you mentioned, Jesse, is Cam Smith. Like, he's super volatile, GPP only, but I like quite a bit. What do you guys like? I'll start with you, Kevin, in the $7K to $7,400 range.
Yeah, I'm sure he'll probably be a little bit popular after a great weekend, but Corey Connors definitely. I don't have it in my notes, but I think he played fairly well there, maybe at least one round or so. I think it's a good course for him. He's ninth in my model. Obviously, good tee to green, and he actually is fifth in my model in par five scoring because he keeps it in play. He can get up around the greens in regulation and have a chance at birdies and eagles. Kuchar, I'll be pretty big on Kuch this week. Form's just but history around Sawgrass is phenomenal, as it is at correlation courses at Harbortown. So I'll have a fair amount of Kuch, and then I'll pound the Brendan Todd, Christian Bezuidenhout, and Chris Kirk area. Bezuidenhout, great weekend at Arnold Palmer. Opened last year with a 7-under 65 here at Sawgrass before it got canceled. But I'll have a fair amount of Bezuidenhout this week.
I like that. What about you, Jesse?
Yeah, Corey Connors, he was striping it, man. You know, if he's like one of those, you know, literally one of those guys, if he ever gets the putter going, he could run away with something. Lonto at 73, Sam Burns at 73. I think Sam Burns is interesting. Obviously, he was going to play last year, got canceled, coming off the miscut at the API where he burned a shit ton of people. So the ownership should be lower, I would imagine, this week. You know, I like him better this week than I did last week. Tringale just playing really solid golf, $7,200, 35th, 16th, 56th in his last three appearances here, which he hasn't played here since 2017, but he has made three straight cuts, and he's made a bunch of cuts in a row on tour. So he's just kind of plodding along. Siwoo's interesting at 72, obviously the past champion here in 2017. He's not missed a cut that I have in four appearances, 56, 63rd, first, 23rd, and his last three starts are WD, miscut, miscut.
Yeah.
Who's going to play him?
He's Nobody. Made one cut since his win.
Yeah, yep. I mean, he's for whatever reason, he beat the shit out of everybody at the American Express and has mailed it in. I don't know. I mean, obviously, he started.
You know what the correlation is, right?
What's that?
Pete Dye course, American
right,
Express.
Right. No, I'm with you. He is. I think the Pete Dye specialist at this point, you know, started last week with an 80 and then went to the house. Don't really blame him there, especially, you know, there's no way he's making the cut. So might as well just go to the house. But anyways, Siwoo, super GPP play, obviously not putting him any kind of cash game. Poulter at 7,100, played well enough last week, obviously made the cut, ended up finishing 26th, sorry. And had a decent weekend, you know, 75 right on the average there on Sunday. So course history is pretty good. 56th, 11th, second in his last three starts. And then Chris Kirk at 7,000. You know, I know, Kevin was on him last week, finished 8th, 16th the week before that at the AT&T, and then three straight made cuts at the Players Championship. So I think Chris Kirk at 7,000 is a very good price there.
You guys hit on Connors. I think Lanto Griffin doesn't have an official tournament here, but 21st, 22nd, 26th, 7th, his last four trips on tour. I think he continues to get it done. Kevin Na is always intriguing, can be tilting as all get up, but he has a handful of like top seven finishes here, plus some withdrawals and missed cuts. So take your choice there. But on a course where you don't have to keep up with the bombing, Na is always intriguing in tournaments. Kisner's another guy that loves Pete Dye courses. 22nd missed cut, 56 missed cut second here, but coming off a nice 36 and the 41st his last 2 weeks. He's $7,200, kind of a slow and steady guy. I don't mind. Tringali's been playing well. I love Bezenhout. I'm with you there, Kev. You mentioned his opening round here last year, coming in really good form. So I'm a fan of him. Poulter in cash games, just keep playing him. He's slow and he's like the old man Fitzpatrick right now to me. So go ahead and get yourself some Pults. Binion in tournaments is intriguing. Back-to-back made cuts here, 26th and 30th. He's made five straight cuts on tour, so he can run into one. And then Brendan Grace and Alexander Noren have good course history if you want to get weird in a GPP at 7K, but probably not going to go there if I don't have to. 6K range, since it's a Masters or a Majors-type pricing, there's a lot of great options down here. Jesse, who are you looking at in the 6K range?
Yeah, there's plenty to play. I'll start with top there, Brian Harman, $6,900. Course history is decent enough. Eighth miscut, 53rd in his last three appearances. And just been steadily making cuts on tour. Nothing crazy. Eighth place finish at the American Express. Otherwise, he's, you know, in the 30s or whatever. But again, he's $6,900. Neesmith at 67. He was chalk last week, missed the cut. I would go back to him. Griot at 67, I think is playable there. And that's what I got for the 6K range.
What about you, Kevin?
Yeah, not a ton, really. It's probably with nearly 100 guys missing the cut this week, you got to be really careful if you go down this range to make sure you pick guys that have a great chance of making it, which leads me straight into Keegan Bradley.
You called it last week.
Man, his tee to green game is so good. And he's had some success around this place. I do like Victor Perez's game coming in. He played okay last week, and Arm Palmer made the cut. One guy that I looked at earlier, Andrew Putnam, had another good week at API, finished fourth at API, fifth at Puerto Rico, and seventh at Waste Management, and has made six straight cuts since Amex. So you want to talk about good form and a guy that you can get down here in the 6K range that may go extremely overlooked. There's your guy. And maybe a little bit of Duffner. We talked about some of it in the Slack, but take a look at his numbers and see if it makes sense to plug in a lineup.
Yeah, we have some similar guys here. I had Keegan written down as a talking point. Harman, Griot, I like at $6,700. If he can get hot with the putter, like we say every week, that could be intriguing. I think Bernd Wiesberger at 68 is another guy you can take a peek at. 12th and a 49th his last two times here. He's coming in really good form. You mentioned, or what about your boy Bobby Mack that you had last week, Jesse? No. Okay,
He's not on my radar. I didn't play him last week. I know I mentioned him. Did he play well?
He finished like 36 or something.
He made the cut. That's better than Louis Oosthuizen.
Yeah, exactly. Shot
even on Sunday.
Should have played him.
He's a lefty too, so you get brownie points for that. But if you need to go cheaper, just if you want to go stars and scrubs, you can go. I had Putnam down here at 63. Richie Wierwinski is a guy I like to play quite a bit. He's made both cuts here in his two tournaments here. Finished fourth last week. He's made five straight cuts on tour, so he's interesting at 64. And then the only other two guys I had written down here is you can go Dougie Gim at 62. First time here, though, and I think he'll be popular after his weekend performance at API. And a guy that I've played a lot this season, it's first time here as well, but Bo Hoag has made five of six cuts, nothing worse than a 36th. So when he makes it to the weekend at his price point, that pays off pretty well. So if you want to go stars and scrubs, you can get weird because, like I said earlier, it's like two or three guys in the 6K range are usually like top 10 or 15 in DK scoring at this event. So there are going to be guys that show up here. And like Johnny Vegas finished third a couple of years ago. So just let that sink in. It is very possible. All right, let's recap things real quick. Top 10K and above play, Jesse.
DJ.
Kevin.
Yeah, I'm going to go Rory.
Yeah, I like Rory as well. I'm going to go with Rory as well. 9K, Jesse, who you got?
Webb.
Kevin.
Yeah, I like Webb too, but to be different, I'll go Fina.
I'm going to go Morikawa. 8K range, Jesse.
Spieth.
Kevin.
Interesting. I'm going to go Scheffler.
I like I'm going to go Fitzpatrick, 82. At 8K range is loaded. $75 to $7,900, Jesse.
Man, I'm going to say Neiman.
Kevin?
I'm going to go Homa.
Yeah, you guys are picking them. I'll go answer then to be different. But I like that. I like all those right there to make some interesting lineup decisions. $7K to $7,400, Jesse.
Lonto and Sam Burns.
Kevin.
Poseidon out.
I like that too. I'll go Poseidon out as well. I had him and Lonto written down, so that'd be the two. 6K range. Who's your top guy, Jesse?
I'll say Harmon. I like your Richie Wierenski call, though. He was solid last week.
Yeah. What about you, Kevin?
Putnam.
I like the Putnam play a lot. I had him circled. I don't circle a lot here. I had him circled. To be different, to throw a third one out there, let's go with Weisberger. No one will own him. So go get some burned Weisberger. If you're building a cash game lineup, starting out with three golfers, Kevin, who are you starting out with?
Cash, I'm going Webb, Scott, and Cooch.
What about you, Jesse?
Definitely Scott. Sergio, I think, is very cash valuable as well. And I would put Paul Casey, even though his course history is not the greatest.
Yeah, I'd go Casey, Fitz, and Fleetwood. So between us all, we could probably put a cash lineup together because none of those guys are expensive. So it'd be interesting to see if we throw that in a lineup and see how that turns out. If you're starting out a GPP with three guys, Kevin, who are you starting out with?
I'm going crazy here. I'm going Bezidenhout, Putnam, and Scheffler.
Oh, that is GPP. What about you, Jesse?
I like stacking, like I said earlier, Cantlay and Finau together, and then, Answer.
That's funny. I have Morikawa, Finau, Answer written down. So we're very close there as well. All right, Kevin, who you got winning this thing? You said you already have a few bets down.
Yeah, I think Finau is going to break through and be the player's champ.
That'd be awesome.
Remember when Ricky caught a lot of crud for being the most overranked player in the world and went out and won the players? I think Finau could kind of have the same vibe this week. You know, one of the best players in the world just doesn't have that key win, and this would be it.
That'd be wild. What about you, Jesse?
I can dig it. I'd be all right with Tony Finau winning 25-1 there on Bovada. Other than that, I think Paul Casey at maybe at 33 potentially, something a little bit longer, Kokrak at 80.
Mm-hmm. I think this will be fun because, like we said, a lot of the lower price guys will, make your lineups, but it seems the cream usually still rises to the top for the most part with the winner. Not always pretty high. But how funny would Usti at 80-1 be after last week?
It wouldn't be funny.
Hey, he got me in junkies. I remember waking up to a message from Kevin about that, so don't you worry about it.
Yeah,
I just think that'd be just total Usti 101 for us.
I mean, it wouldn't surprise me.
No,
posting on junkies has been fun this year.
Yeah, it's been a good time in there. I hate 18-1, but I like Morikawa a lot this week. I know he just won a few weeks ago, but I like him quite a bit. If not, Sungjae at 40 is a pretty good number, I think.
Yeah, I think so too.
That's a good number because no one would be shocked with his game if he comes Sundays in the mix. So that'd be intriguing as well. All right, final thoughts, gentlemen. Majors type event, Kevin.
Well, it'd be remiss not to congratulate Phil on 20 years in the top 100 in the world. Came to an end, I guess, as of last night. That's one of those streaks that will never be beat. Pretty impressive being the top 100 in the world for 20 years. As far as the tournament goes, it's a lot like Genesis where you won't see anyone run away with it. Even if someone gets a 3-4-5 shot lead Friday or Saturday, there's a good chance that either guys can catch them or with all the penalty areas on the golf course, they can come back to the crowd. So it's always a fun tournament to watch. It gets pretty crowded at the top.
Speaking of your Phil thing, I think I saw Cooch is out of the top 50 for the first time in like 10 years. So wild times. Jesse, final thoughts on the tournament?
Yeah, I mean, one thing I always remember about the Players Championship is it's especially with the top 65 and ties, it's going to be I'd say a low cut 6-6 percentage. So in my opinion, it's a good week to fade the chalk. So whatever that ends up being, I'm going to try to steer away from that as much as possible.
Yeah, I know I say it a lot, but I will check out FanShare, and I did it the other night. That's what pissed me off so much. I was not on Usti until the night before when I played. I looked at ownership. I'm like. Because the way he plays, we just talked about it. You know, when he shows up, he's a pretty good golfer. Like, he's going to finish well for you. It's like, okay, no one's owning him because that's why. But I think I went from Kokrak to Usti and something like that. It was lots of fun. Very, very happy about that. Very happy about how that turned out. So, I'll do the same thing because that's how you end up winning in this thing eventually is you just keep fading the chalk. And it does work. It's an interesting deal. But I love tournaments like this. I think I will go back to my Cascade this week. With this kind of loaded field, sprinkling around. It could be a lot of fun. So join us in the Slack chat. It's free. Just let us know. We'll get you in there. But as always, gentlemen, thanks for doing it again. We'll be back next week.
Sounds good.
Yeah, all right, good luck.
This was the Always Pressing PGA DFS podcast for the 2021 The Players. Catch you all later. The show goes on.